Did you all receive one of those? Who didn't? I saw someone took it and put it in the thing afterwards, but the first meeting, but that's fine. That is a printout. It's a bookmark, if you want to keep it as a bookmark. You like that? Okay. That's got scripture on it. We're doing it. So I'm going to read it. We're going to read it together. Why don't you pull it out? We're going to read it together. Put God first in your finances. Accept the four-month tithe challenge today. What is that, Craig? I'm glad you asked. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. That is paraphrasing Deuteronomy 14:23. Please don't go read it and say, that's incorrect. We're paraphrasing there. Okay. Just so you know that. You're invited. Say, I'm invited.
I'm invited.
Okay. To put God first in your finances by taking the four-month tithe challenge today. As a matter of fact, the four-month tithe challenge will end on our three-week. It just happened to be that. We didn't plan it, actually. But every year we do a three- or four-week series on finances in October, every year. We've done it for a number of years now. This ends right in the middle of that, interestingly enough. Join with others from Grace Life Church in honoring God through giving as a way to grow your faith and to experience God's blessing in your life. One way to do this is by committing to tithe over the next 4 months. Not only will you be obeying God, but God will bless you in return. Say, He will bless me. I think only some of you believe that. Malachi 3:10, bring this, let's say this, God will bless me. There we go. Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to store it. Do you know that Malachi 3:10, I'll read it just now, is the only book in the Bible where God says, test me. It's the only place in the Bible where God gives us permission to test him. Interestingly enough. Are you ready to put God first? Take the tithe challenge today by checking the tithe challenge next step on the back of your connection card. So your connection card, on the back there, of course, we always take this up during the tithes offerings like we would have a few minutes ago. But today we're going to take it up at the end, and then hopefully you will tick there, accept the four-month tithe challenge. And then you'll have your email address and obviously all the information, and then we'll get hold of you and mail you and contact you during those 4 months. Amen.
Amen.
Who's with me? All right, and the guys from the first meeting, I only mentioned this because someone laughed, but there is a gift, there'll be a package for you, actually, not a gift. There's a package for you, for those who accept the challenge, there'll be a package for you next week at the new desk with your name on it, a little package. You just go and you grab that package, so there's information about what we're doing, amen? This is the first time we've ever done this. We've never done this before, never. But we felt a go ahead in God to do this as Grace Life. I actually saw this from another pastor, a guy that we follow quite a bit, love his stuff, not from South Africa. And I just, as I read it, and I read what they'd done in their church, I felt God say, if you've got faith for it, Craig, go for it, I'm behind you. Amen? Everything is by faith. Everything we do is by faith. Romans 5:2 says it's by faith that we access the grace in which we now stand. Who believes in grace? I believe in the grace of God. I believe in eternal security. I believe that. I believe that when I get born again, I will never lose my born again status as a son. God will never disown me. Can you lose your salvation? I don't know. You can argue about that, but I know this. God can't lose a son.
Amen.
Jesus tells us in John that the Father is the one that gave them into his hand, and he will never lose them. And he says, and the Father will not lose it, those are in his hand. So therefore, both the Father and the Son have to lose me. I don't think that's possible. Amen. But it's by grace that I access faith. Matter of fact, I don't, now that I believe that, I go, now I can go live like I want because I'm saved for eternity. Actually, the just shall live by faith, justified. I am justified, just as if I've never sinned. And so I go into heaven with the perfect righteousness of God. But I don't take that revelation now and go, woo, now I can go get drunk every night. Well, you can do whatever you want. It's not going to be healthy for you. You can stop breathing, but you're going to die. You're free to choose. Amen? The just shall live by faith. Paul presupposes that if I'm justified, I live by faith. The two go hand in hand. Who's with me? Romans 5:2. It's by faith that we access the grace in which we now stand. So this morning, Dawn and I are just talking early this morning. You know the connection cards from last week? Many pages of prayer requests written down. Page one, the very first page. 10 that we counted, a cursory count, 10 of them. Sorry, Dawn had to shoot home for an emergency. My son is at home. A cursory count, about 10 people asking for finances, requesting a Lord, pray for that. Jobs, someone lost their job, they need a job, they're retrenched. People need provision for things, cars broken. This has happened. Amen? Someone that they know needs finances. God knows that you need something. He knows what that need is. We can pray for it. But sometimes God also wants you to step out in faith in order to access the grace for that need. Who's with me? Faith by virtue of what it is in action, friends. Peter, get out the boat. Well, I believe I can walk on water, but I ain't going to get out this boat. Then you don't believe. Amen? Faith presupposes action steps. It's, faith is risk. There's an action attached to that. In Matthew chapter somewhere, 8, Jesus came down from the mountainside. Large crowds followed him. Say, followed him.
Followed him.
Interesting, Jesus didn't go find large crowds. They followed him. When Jesus went to Bethesda, I think it was, he went into a place hoping that as the Son of God, as he goes out and preaches, people come out and he starts to heal all those who came to him. He says he could not do many miracles there because there was not much faith. The Son of God himself couldn't do many miracles in this place because people did not have faith. Why? Because I know this guy. This is Jesus, the carpenter's son. Poopah, this guy. What's he on about? We know where you came from, son. Amen? It says he couldn't do many miracles there. God's hands were tied. Why? No faith. Don't tie your God's hands up for your need. Amen? You need finances? Yes, then sow finances. Well, Craig, no, I can't sew. I don't have money. I need all the money I get. But I can come pack out some chairs. Well, you're not going to reap chairs. If you sow chairs, I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to reap time. If you're sowing time in the kingdom, you will reap time. Who's with me? You reap what you sow. It's like, I trust God. I need more finances. But I'm not going to use the finances I have for the purpose of God and to give, because I don't think he's not going to bless me there, but I do trust that I'm going to do something else. No, if you trust God and you are needing provision and finances, you have to use and be faithful what's in your hand. Who's with me? Amen? I need you to preach with me this morning. You know, often you talk about this kind of stuff and people just want to dial out. Oh my God, here we go. This is very important. Jesus spoke a lot about money, so did Paul. Why? You're going to hear about this morning. Because Jesus needed your money? No. Because Paul needed your money? No. Because the church needs your money? Well, God can provide and supply needs in any way, in fashion and shape and form he wants. But he uses us to do something. But really, the benefit lies for us and what we're doing. Who's with me? And of course, because we love God's house, we love his people. So we sow into it. It says, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Say came and knelt before him. In those days, if you had leprosy, you had to stay away from anybody who was healthy. You weren't allowed to go into any places that were public. You would be killed. Very dangerous for the community. And so what happened was this leper decided, I don't care if I'm killed or not. I'm going to go out. I'm going to find this man, Jesus. Jesus is preaching to this massive crowd. And it's the Beatitudes. And he speaks about all these different things. And then he gets up and he walks over the other side of Capernaum's hill. And as he comes down, he has this leper coming up to meet him. And falls down before him and says, Jesus, if you're willing. And look what he says here. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You see, there was an action. There was an action attached to his faith. If you're willing, you can make me clean. What did Jesus say? I'm not sure about that. I don't know if I'm willing or not. You're quite a dirty scoundrel. I saw what you did last week. Amen? Jesus said, I'm willing. Whatever need you have this morning, he's willing to supply that need. But there has to be a faith part. God is not going to force himself on you. Amen. Who's found R1 million? Who needs money yet? Don't put your hand up. Are we financing for stuff? Who's found R1 million under their, in their couch? I wouldn't even say that. Who's found R1 million under their pillow? Who's found R1 million under their pillow? And now, God, you can do anything. You put mud in people's eyes. Can't you put $1 million under my pillow? See, the Lord doesn't work like that. Otherwise, we'd all be millionaires. Why not? Because he wants us to be faithful to what we have in our hands and to continue to trust him. So we can see the miraculous. Who's with me? If you have a need in your life financially, trust the Lord so generously and watch what he does. And this morning we're going to talk about a tithe challenge. I'm going to show you how it benefits you and why you need to take that step of faith. All right, so two treasuries. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth. Okay, treasure on earth. And we understand what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about savings accounts and retirement funds. Now, of course, you know, wherever those savings accounts are. Now, hold on, Craig. That stuff's important. Yes, it is. And the Holy Spirit knows that. He knows that we need that stuff. But what he's trying to communicate to us is where our hearts are placed. Many believers, their hearts are only placed in what they've saved up for themselves for a rainy day or for when they die one day or when they get old one day. And they've got no concept about saving up in this treasury. In this country, we have one treasury. Amen? Of which SARS runs and we all are part of. Money flows in and flows out. Likewise, these treasuries. Do not store for yourself treasure on earth where moth, rust, and vermin and thieves break in and steal. Why? Because that's what can happen. But then he says, listen here. He juxtaposes and he says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth, rust, and vermin do not destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. So Paul, or rather Jesus, is making it very clear to us there are two treasuries. One in the temporal realm that will not last. As I said a few weeks ago or however long ago, someone, Rockefeller, when he died, one of his people came up to his lawyer and said to the lawyer, geez, how much money did leave be? I'll try that again. Excuse me. How much money did he leave behind? And the lawyer said, all of it. There is a treasury in heaven that has your name attached to it, just like the one on earth. Jesus says, don't store for yourself treasure there. Store for yourself treasure here. Amen? This is revelation, friends. If you can get it, it can change your life. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So I put all my treasure into this, all my effort. This is where my heart is, because my heart follows after my treasure. Yeah. So let's read. 1 Timothy 6. Command those to do good. These are rich people in the church. To be rich in good deeds. Well, in Timothy 17, it says, those who are rich among you. Okay. Command them to do good. To be rich in good deeds. And to be generous and willing to share. Interestingly, if you do studies on richness or finances in the world, if you own a TV and a car, you're among the top 5% richest in the world. How's that? It's profound. So who is rich compared to God? Who does God see as rich? Well, I'll leave that with you. And to be generous, willing to share. Verse 19, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Now, we don't really understand what that means. Why do I need a firm foundation of treasure laid up for this coming age? I have no idea. I thought Jesus was our foundation. 1 Corinthians 3. I'll speak about that tonight at our new members class as I unpack more of that. There's something in here that is relevant for us. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have, or Paul wouldn't have said it. There's a coming age that I'm going to need something of this treasure that I'm storing up. I don't know why. And I don't know how. But it's in there. The Holy Spirit doesn't put anything in for no reason. They will lay up a treasure for themselves for the coming age. That's not this age. So clearly when I'm rich in deeds and I'm sowing generously into the kingdom of God, because Paul is writing to Timothy about the church, I'm laying up for myself treasure in heaven that is somehow useful for me one day when I get there. Who's with me? Please, it's not Craig 101. You can see this. I'm talking about the Bible here. It's very simple. I'm not trying to do scriptural gymnastics. You can see this is what it says here. Amen? Amen. Philippians 4. This is Paul. Very encouraged by the Philippian church, sowing into his ministry and sowing into his life. Again and again, you brought me aid when I was in need, Paul says. Not an indictment. He's very happy. It's an encouragement and an accolade for the Philippian church. He says, not one other church shared with me in this matter of giving and receiving except you, Philippian church. And that's an indictment in the other churches. He says, you guys shared with me in this matter of giving and receiving. They sowed into his life. Interesting, you know, who knows that scripture? My God shall supply your needs. Who knows that? Who's heard that scripture? And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Who's quoted that? No one. Okay. Pat. She's the only honest one here. Who's quoted it? Yeah. And my God shall supply. My God shall supply all my needs according to who's. My God shall supply my needs. Amen. Woo! Do you know that scripture starts with the word and? Doesn't start with my. It starts with and. And my God shall supply all my needs. Who starts a sentence with the word and? No one, unless you mean something before that. And Paul is saying that because the Philippian church have sown into his ministry, God will supply their need according to his riches and glory. We can't quote that scripture if we're not sowing into the ministry or into the kingdom of God. Who's with me? That was just a side note. Paul says, Philippians 4:17, that's 19, that one. But 4:17, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your, what's that word? This is amplified, heavenly account. The blessing which is accumulated for you. So somehow, when we are sowing into the ministry or into the kingdom of God, now they were sowing into Paul's ministry. When you're sowing into the local church, what it does is that it increases your heavenly bank account. So what I'm trying to communicate here, without a shadow of a doubt, there are two treasuries, one on the earth that your name is attached to, and one in heaven that your name is attached to. Amen. How much you sow into the ministry, you sow into this one. And as I've said before, if you go, well, Craig, you know, I've been to churches, the pastors embezzled money and ran off with this and ran off with that. You know, I don't trust pastors anymore. That's great, but you have a problem. You need to find a church that you can trust leadership and sow into that church ASAP. Amen? Amen? They sowed into Paul's life here. Paul was a church planter. Paul was an apostle. He wrote 75% of the New Testament. Church planter. Corinthian church, Philippian church, the Galatian church, the Ephesian church. Paul planted them. When you take your seed and just sow it to arbitrarily to the car guard, well, there we go. I need to give some money, well, I might as well give it to this guy. That's not the concept. The concept here is sowing into the kingdom of God, into those who are operating in the ministry of God. Who's with me? Well, Craig, you're just saying that. Well, then, I don't know where you read the Bible and how you're getting your information, but that's what the Bible says. Nothing wrong with being benevolent. I love to give car guards. Buy the three chocolate bars that for 35 Rand. And as I drive out of spot, give one to the guy operating the boom gate. Try that sometime. He'll get a smile out of his dial. Yeah. Amen. Nothing wrong with being benevolent. God's benevolent, even to the unsaved. They wake up and the flowers are blooming for them. But Paul is talking about sowing into the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Giving into my heavenly bank account. One, it blesses me, clearly. Proverbs 22. You can read that. A generous man will be blessed. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man prospers. Psalm 112, good comes to those who are generous. And number two, it makes me happy, clearly. Acts 25:30 says, you're far happier giving than getting. That's the Message Bible. Far happier when I sow. Amen. All right, so I'm going to change tack here and talk about tithing. Now, Craig, I don't believe in tithing. It's not New Testament. Now, it's under the law. Hey, listen, I love the grace message. I preach it as hard as anyone. I know that we're not under the law anymore. The law was a means and pointed us to Jesus. It was a shadow of the things to come. Jesus is the reality. Amen. I don't jump on the shadow of the plane on the ground. I jump in the plane to take me overseas, wherever I'm going. Amen. The shadow can help me nothing. The law, I saw on news a few days ago, saddened me that a state in America has passed a law that all the schools must have the Ten Commandments in them. Now, of course, a lot of Christians, yeah, great. No, it's not good. We're not called to live by the Ten Commandments. They bring death. We're called to live by grace, by the Holy Spirit, rather. We're called to live by the Holy Spirit. We're not called to live by the Ten Commandments. Amen. I don't want to get into too much of that. Jesus himself said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I live according to the Ten Commandments. I tick boxes. And I think I'm okay because I've got this level of life that I'm living. And the Father says, hey, my friend, that level is up. Yeah. You'll never make that level if you're trying to get to my holiness in your way. You got to be the holiness of my Son. There's no less holiness than my Son. Jesus was perfect. Now try to be that. You won't do it. How do you do it? You're going to be found in Christ. In Christ. For God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus did not live according to the law. He was a Jewish man under the law, but he far exceeded the law. Amen? The Pharisees try to tick boxes. The Pharisees try to live according to the law. Jesus said, hey, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. I tell you, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Because they were going, we don't commit adultery, but ooh, they were ogling every single woman coming past them. That's what happens when our law keep. Anyway, I digress. We're not under the law, but I believe that the tithe is given from Genesis all the way through to Hebrews chapter 7 as a biblical narrative to fund the church of God. That's the bottom line. Grace Life operates. The salaries that we take as a church, for the most part, the money that we give and that we're able to give out is because of the tithes of the people, not the offerings. Amen? It's through the tithing of people that we're able to do what we do as a Grace Life church. That's the bottom line. And I've heard people go, well, we're not under the law, so therefore I don't have to tithe. I can promise you now, you are giving way less than 10% if you're sowing into your local church, if you don't believe in tithing. And remember, because you don't live under the law, we live under grace. And Paul says now in the New Testament, there's no curse on you, no, but you reap what you sow. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. If you don't believe in tithing, I don't believe tithing, Craig. I'm in the New Testament, all that great stuff. But mathematically, go and see how much you give every month for the last 6 months, and you'll see be way less than 10%. I'd rather not believe in tithing and give 10%. At least I know I'm putting money into my heavenly bank account. It's just a discipline that I live by. Amen. Who's with me? If you don't believe in tithing, to giving 10%, great, then give 11%. I remember someone many years ago, I tell you on Facebook, there's a guy that came and preached. Okay, can I give an extra minute or two here? Nkonza, you happy? Okay. This guy came to us, he preached grace and all that. It was amazing. And he'd cut all these DVDs and CDs and put them out at a little table. Him and his son came from Cape Town, like a guy. And he would put a little bucky out. And hey, just give. If you want to take one, don't you have to? Just no one's gonna say. Just put money in there and take a CD or a tape or some teachings of his. We were still meeting in the Eco Park. There was about 40 people in the Sunday morning. and you come afterwards. Now, we're under grace, so we're all preaching grace. Oh, I'm the righteous of God. Yeah, grace, 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 grace. But you come afterwards, all his CDs and his things are gone, and there's a couple of bob in the thing. I'm like, hey, guys, we're under grace, but we should be very generous people because we understand grace. They gave 10% under the law. Let's supersede the law. I don't live according to the law. Yeah. Amen. No. Hey, Craig, you don't have to do that, man. Relax. The one time on Facebook, someone writes there, if everyone in the church stopped giving 10% to the church and started giving 10% to the poor, we'd eradicate poverty. And I tell her, I felt like, I think the angels are going to start singing here. This is so spiritual. So I wrote on Facebook, under this guy, back in the day when I was a keyboard warrior on Facebook with Grace and all that stuff. And I wrote, I said, I tell you what, let's do this. Let's give 10% to the church, continue. Give another 10% to the poor. Hey, whoop, troop still. 20%. No, I'm going to have to do that. Amen? Most of us are living paycheck to paycheck. It's like all the time. The Father's saying, man, I want to break that mindset. Amen? Always broke. If you're always broke, there's a problem in your finances. That's the bottom line. Malachi 3:10. Anyway, I don't want to get into the, is it New Testament or not? I believe it's from Melchizedek and Abraham. The tenth of the spoils of war. And he comes, oh, it's the spoils of war. It's a tenth of his increase. And he brings it to Melchizedek. What does Melchizedek do? He brings out bread and wine, a picture of the gospel. Amen? A picture of the gospel. And you go right down to Hebrews 7. You're all the way through into the New Testament. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, those who preach and teach. And then he uses the analogy of the Old Testament priests working at the temple. He says they should have their needs supplied or met. I'm paraphrasing here, in the same way that happened. So what does that mean? Well, we're not under the law, but in the way the guys brought the finances, the tithe, the finances into the church or into the temple, the storehouse, as you'll see, says in the same way those who preach and teach should get their supply from that same place. Amen. Amen. Who's with me? So practically, it makes a big difference for those who are full-time in the church. For some things that you need in the church, it makes a huge difference. I think it was maybe 3 years ago. I can't remember exactly how long ago it was now that we did this, that we actually shared this. But probably about 3 years ago, we'd given over 1 point something million rand in giving since the beginning of Grace Life. Sown. Just from January till, when is it? Last month, we gave 26,000 rand away in food, in meals for people in Grace Life. In Grace Life. That comes through the tithes and offerings of people in this church. Amen? Otherwise, you couldn't do that. Malachi 3:10 stands among the most unique verses in the Bible, for in it God grants his people permission to test them. So God tests you. We're talking about the tithe challenge this morning. We're going to test God. And as I said, it's a faith step for us as a leadership, because we're saying, Lord, you've got to break in here. Want people to tick the box and all of a sudden nothing happens. Say, Father, we're going to praise leadership. You're going to have to break in. So just as much of a step of faith, it's actually a step of faith on our part. Amen. I felt God say, if you do this, Craig, I'm behind you. Don't be shy. So I'm praying for someone who's got a headache. Oh, yeah, okay, lift your hands up. Hey, Father, thank you. Feel heal now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, whose headache's gone? No one puts their hands up. So you know, that didn't work. You got to take a step of faith if you're praying for people. Who's with me? Amen. Very quiet. Is this hard stuff? Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, or the whole tenth. What is a storehouse? The place where you get fed. Yeah. Amen? Why was God saying this in Malachi? Because just before this, in Haggai, he says, your paneled houses are beautiful, but look at the state of my house. He says, you're taking all your tithes and offerings and pouring them into your earthly treasure, and you're not doing anything for me. And then he says, you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me of tithes and offerings. Can we rob God now? No, not in the New Testament. Now, some guys might preach that, but I don't believe there's a curse on us, because curse is anyone who hangs on a tree, and we are in Christ, so therefore Jesus took the curse away for you and I, but we do reap what we sow. Amen? Amen? Amen. And I believe that we can take the blessings here that Malachi speaks of, because the blessings go through the cross or the curse stops. Who's with me? Amen. So he says, test me. So we can test God. And I remember reading this guy that we just looking at this stuff. There were unsaved people in their meetings that said, I'm going to test God on this thing. Unsaved. I'm not even born again. I'm going to just start tithing. I'm going to see what happens. And at the end of it, they got born again. Something happened and they were like, freak, that's undeniable. I mean, I don't even know how that works, but that's the testimonies they had. Amen? So we're trusting in 4 months from now, we're going to see some major testimonies. First one we ever do of this. Do one next year again, let's see how it goes, and let's trust a Lord. We can have our own testimony sheet of all the testimonies of tithing. Tithers have testimonies, I can tell you now. Amen. He says, if I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing until there's no more room for you to receive it. It is the only place in the Bible that we can test God. The only place. So let's test him today. Let's say, right, Father, I want to test you. I'm going to test you, God. If you've never tithed before, tithe. The whole tithe. So if you earn 2,000 grand a month, it's 200. If you earn 10 grand, it's 1,000. If you earn 20, it's 2,000. It's a 10%. And say, God, I'm going to do this for 4 months. 4 months. Why? I have a need. I have a need in my life. I'm going to come and press through the crowd and take a step of faith. Because this pastor is speaking about this. And I'm going to take that. I'm going to do this. And I need you to break in. And I'm trusting you to break in. And I pray that you'll show yourself to me. You say, test me. I'm going to test you. The leper came and tested the power of God by his faith. He came and knelt before him and said, if you're willing, you can clean me. Who believes that God has the power to turn their financial situation around? Who believes God has the power to open up that door that they get that job? Who believes that God has the power to change the economy in their lives around them? Who believes that? Then we have to press through by faith. It's no use just saying something and going, well, I hope it works. And God, when you get paid. I toss a couple of coins in the basket and kind of see what happens. Oh. He says, test me, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Amen? Dawn and I started the tithe challenge. I did, but let's us together when we got married. But I started my tithe challenge in 1999, and I'm still tithing today. Same with Dawn, same with the leaders. Still tithing today, 20-something years later. How much money have I sown into my heavenly account? I don't know, but I want to take that seriously. Amen? Do I have a retirement fund? Yes, we do. I've had it for 18 years. Do we have a savings account? Yes, we do. Does Grace Life have one? Yes, we do. But my treasure is not in that. Amen? Amen. My treasure is in that. That's where I want to put my treasure for the most part. And be wise with this. When the two-pot retirement thing comes out in September, be careful. Don't be doffed with that. Because now you can draw money, you got to draw cash out of your thing. Just be careful of that. Amen? Think of your future. That was page 3, and I am done. The leprous man, as I said, came and touched Jesus. Why don't we stand? No, you can't stand. You got to fill out your card. Because you want to. Amen. But take a step of faith this morning. 4 months. Give God 4 months. Say, Father, I'm going to test you in this. I'm going to tick this box, and I'm going to tithe for 4 months. Not for the Grace Life's sake, but of course will be benefit, but for your sake. To see God break in. That's my prayer. Father, show your people that you are truly who you say you are when it comes to their finances. Open that door, but you have to take a step of faith. Amen? Who's with me? Is this helpful? Does it make sense? Alrighty. You got a few minutes, and we'll take up the connection cards. Go for it, babe.
I just thought to share this. You know, we don't operate when we operate in God's economy and we're giving, he can throw things on its head. When we signed the memorandum of understanding to take over this derelict, dilapidated, deemed condemned hall in 2016, we had 2,000 rand in the bank account. I mean, I couldn't even buy the kind of paint that we needed to paint this place.
As a matter of fact, babe, just hold that thought. I sat in Andrew's office and I came out and said, bro, we signed the MOU. for the school. He was very happy. But I didn't tell him we got 2,000 rand in the account. Because he didn't need to know. We knew, Dawn and I. This is in 2016. Long before they came onto eldership. It's like, what? It's like, we knew. We knew what we had and what we needed. Amen? Thanks, babe.
So 2 months later, as we started the renovations on the 29th of October, 2016, we had our first meeting in here on Christmas Day, 2016. The kitchen looked like a complete tool shed. I mean, it was still pretty raw and rough. You could still smell like the glue from the carpeting and the fresh paint. But by that point, 220,000 rand had been invested into this. Mm. That's God's economy. That was completely outside of our doing, from generous people who said, we want to get behind this. We want to sow into this. Yeah. That's what God can do. Come on. Take the step of faith with your little 2,000 rand that can't do nothing, can't even carpet the stairs. And he just steps in.
Yeah,
friends,
very
you know
good.
What the beautiful thing is about that story when Jesus had that interaction with the leper is that key thing, he touched him. You might think that your financial situation is leprous. It is decaying. It is like falling apart. And maybe it has been for as long as you've been earning a salary.
Very good.
So broken. You know what? Jesus reached out and he touched the man. With all that, he could have caught that. He didn't, but he touches it. Yeah. Don't be shameful. Don't be embarrassed. Let him touch your financial situation and watch him bring life and healing and health and restoration in that
very
place.
Very good. There's so many testimonies. You can fill out the cards while you just, but there's so many testimonies. We've got testimony after testimony. Just Dawn and I, Andrew and Pam and Ryan and all the leaders, and some of you guys, of just God's hand. I remember speaking to a couple many years ago in our old venue. Oh, they're saving for their end of year trip to wherever, and they're every year they're saving for the holidays. Nothing wrong with saving for your holidays. But if you save only for your holidays, you don't give into the kingdom. You've got a problem. There's been times we couldn't save for the holidays. We haven't done stuff. And God has still sent us on holiday. Dawn and I stood at the airport with our bags packed to fly to India with no money. And God sent us to India. Amen? No house, trusting God for a house. No, we haven't saved up any money for the house, trusting God, but we've tithed for many, many years. Malcolm standing, right place, right time, right when they want their house sold. This couple, we end up buying their house for very, very cheap, almost 19 years ago. 20 years ago now. Amen? Right time. God will open the right time, right place, but you've got to trust him. Amen. Are we finished, guys?